On Reality Check this week, we are talking with Doug Bunn, the executive dean of our local college, SWOC. We're here to talk about our own school as well as other issues in education in America today. Hi, Doug. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've wanted to get you on for so long. I'm so curious about what's going on at SWOC, and I don't know why I don't know more, but I seem to be in the dark. Can you just, for the sake of me, but as well as any listeners that might not be up to speed, just describe a little bit about what we're doing? We're a branch of the larger SWOC campus, and how many kids we have, and what are the main areas of study? You know, just kind of the basics.
Sure, I'd be happy to address that. I'm the dean of the Curry campus of Southwestern Oregon Community College. We are a satellite campus, if you will. We have about 150 students full-time equivalent. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we have 150 students marching around all the time, but that's the students that are taking classes. Some of those are face-to-face classes. Some are online classes.
Okay.
Online classes are very popular because of the flexibility that it allows. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do all your studies on Monday or Wednesday night. It gives you a lot of flexibility for family and things like that.
Yeah.
The premier program, I think, on campus would be the health sciences, nursing in particular. Mm-hmm. We have recently seen an expansion in the nursing program in the last year. We're very pleased with how that's going.
How are you expanding?
Well, before I came here, and I've been here about 18 months, about a year and a half, right. The program was set up such that we could recruit 5 students every other year. And they would be part of the total cohort that the college was allowed by the State Board of Nursing to actually educate.
So this would be nursing students particularly?
Of the nursing students.
Yeah.
So there were, 20 students per se up in Coos Bay within the cohort, and then 5 students on the Curry campus. And that would be every other year. So they first year together and then the second year. Recently, we were granted authorization to have 5 students every year. So that essentially doubles our program.
So when you do that small a group, I mean, I'm very naive about this stuff, but I imagine that you've got like 1 class of 5 people that's going through a particular set program, then they're not going to have as much flexibility as if you had, say, 1,000 people there or something like that?
Well, that's probably true. The students do go through as a cohort. So. Uh-huh. We have 1 full-time faculty member in nursing on the Curry campus, but the way it's broken up is a lot like rotations a doctor would go through in mm-hmm. medical school, that they would do pediatrics for a month. They might do geriatrics for a month. They might do mental health. So the teachers teach different blocks of activities, and the faculty members are both in Coos Bay and here in Curry. So the students use video uh-huh. to actually see their faculty member and to interact.
They might
with them.
Be on campus here, but they're seeing a video of a teacher in Coos Bay.
That's right. The students are here in our classroom, and some weeks the teacher will be in our classroom. Mm-hmm. Judy Dornbach would be teaching in the classroom with the students in Coos Bay using video to watch Judy teach. And then 2 weeks later, the students would be watching one of the nursing faculty in Coos Bay teach while they're here, and they're able to ask questions. We have some pretty good technology. It's evolved in a nice way, such that
things have really changed a lot. And I would think, especially with something like a nursing program, it's not like it's going to be very elective driven. It's going to be a pretty set series of courses. You're going to check each box as it comes along in the proper order, and so not having what I imagine from the old days where, you go, okay, I'm going to have 3 of these and 4 of those and mix it all up like that, that's really not necessary with a course of study like nursing.
It's quite methodical.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about nursing is it's so practical. I almost think of it as a career and technical education program, although you can get a bachelor's degree in nursing, obviously. But they will have the theory. They'll be mm-hmm. taught in a theory presentation that will be followed by an in-lab. And if you've been up on the campus, we have a very nice lab with the hospital beds and gurneys and the equipment there. They will be instructed on how to do it. And then they will have a clinical rotation where they'll go to the hospital and actually provide patient care.
We're talking Curry General?
Yes. Our students do their clinicals at Curry General. The first year students do go to a Good Samaritan for a small piece of of that, and they will sometimes go out with home health to get some practical experience.
Good. Yeah. So anyway, so the nursing program is a big chunk of what the main course of studies are. And then you have also, you have people that are studying online and I imagine getting their GEDs, not GEDs, their AA type degrees where they're getting the general education to go on to a 4-year.
Yeah.
And then you probably have a lot of extension type, no grade, just credit classes as well for folks that just want to do general interest stuff.
That you're spot on. We do have a GED program. Well, I get a lot of questions about that. We have all 7 or 8 students right now in the GED program working. Several of them are very close. They've taken their, they do a pre-assessment to identify whether they think they're ready to take the GED, because we don't want them to take it and fail, and then that kind of sets them back more. So we do have, have that. We have the AA degree or the Associate of Arts degree in Oregon Transfer. That's a statewide curriculum. And we have some students that pursue that because they intend to transfer to an education degree, maybe going to Southern Oregon University or going for a science degree up in Corvallis. We see a lot of students that transfer there. And occasionally a student will go to California. So we have those programs. A lot of students are nursing bound, which they still have to take some things like communication so that they know how to converse within small groups and within themselves, with, you know, amongst themselves.
Right.
Psychology. So there are some general education classes that the nursing students take as prerequisites before they go into the nursing program. So we see a lot of students in those areas. We have a digital design program. Joseph Tremonti is our instructor there. It's a fully online program, which you would think people that make web pages would be versed enough. Yeah, kind of natural for being able to do a program without having to have an instructor right there next to them. Joseph holds regular office hours, so I see him on campus quite regularly, but the students don't necessarily have to come in to learn the creative aspects of making a web page and turning it into commerce. I really like that program because, you know, somebody that's really bound to Curry County, somebody that can't go off to the university, they can get really good training and put that vocation to work in a way that they can support their family.
Yeah.
And we do have the, so beyond that, you know, I really think that our cornerstone programs are designed around what our community needs. Healthcare, number one. We're going to work harder to promote our education programs because we'd like to grow our own teachers. We've had some success with students taking classes here and through Southern Oregon University such that they can complete without having to leave the community and then become teachers here in our community. So we're really
so really they can actually get certified as a teacher without leaving Brookings?
That's right. Southern Oregon University has been fantastic at, about putting together a program that does partially use online. They use the IPV or Internet Protocol videos.
Yeah.
They teach some of the classes using that. I think that the way their program is built is that there's a once a month where they may actually go to Ashland and be on campus to get some, you know, interaction amongst peer teachers. And then they can do their student teaching, yes, in this community. So it's really exciting.
Wow, that's impressive. It's really impressive.
So education, I think, is important. And then we've been working with our instructor to identify ways that we can deliver the policing curriculum here in our community.
Really?
Because with the Pelican Bay being not too far away, there's a lot of interest in jobs there. So we're hoping that we can provide public safety, education, nursing. Those are really some of the cornerstones of what our community needs.
I know the nursing is always at the top of the list when they say, who's got the jobs of the future and all of that, you know, baby boomers falling apart right on schedule and all. There's a big demand for nursing. What kind of, if one just comes to our local campus, can they come out of that with some kind of degree or certification? What are they prepared for?
With the nursing?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the students will have an associate's degree in nursing. So they will have their, after taking the NCLEC, the national test, they will have everything necessary to be a licensed RN, a registered nurse.
To be an RN, because that used to be a 4-year thing, I think, back in the day.
Well, and the nice thing is that Oregon Health Sciences is really good in that a student that finishes the RN degree with us can then register with Oregon Health Sciences, and in 1 year they can earn their BSN.
Wow.
That's and then impressive. From there, they can go on towards a master's degree should they choose to do so.
You know, the other thing that caught my interest as you were talking about that is the GED program. I was, I guess you might say, sponsoring a kid who ended up in the culinary program up at SWOC in Coos Bay. But he had to do the GED thing through our local campus. And it was great because he didn't have to take everything. He could just, like you say, be pre-tested at what he needed to make up and then just more or less challenge that particular course and take a test in that particular subject area. And it seems so important because I don't know what the statistics are now, but back in the day, not that long ago, less than half of our kids that went to the high school here actually graduated. And that seems like a need that I know it's better now, but it still needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people struggle with how to help the rising generation have that, John Wayne called it, the grit.
Yeah.
The grit to succeed. And we need to help provide, different people have different struggles.
Yes.
And we need to find ways to reach out and meet their needs as best we can. Now, that's not giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's making sure that the education fits the right size. I think of it as I like the analogy of a bicycle. Somebody that's 6'5" has to ride a different bicycle than somebody that is 5'1". You try to put somebody that's 6'5" on a bicycle that's my wife's size, that's not going to go very well. You know,
right.
It's like the 6-footer trying to ride the tricycle. So sometimes the education system feels like that to some people. They just don't, it doesn't fit them in the right way. So we have to find ways to encourage and promote, mm-hmm, and get them into the right places.
I know there's a lot of, what I want to say, that there's a lot of material that's been written about different learning styles, different communication styles, that kind of thing. Some people are auditory learners and some are visual and that sort of thing. And I imagine that makes a big difference.
Well, and sometimes it's cultural too. Mm-hmm. There are some cultures where family is so important that if there's an illness or there's socioeconomic things that happen, it can be an off-ramp or it can stall somebody's education.
Right.
And we have to show the kind of patience and understanding necessary to help somebody get past one of these bumps in the road. And I'm very fortunate, I feel like, on the Curry staff, the Curry campus, that our staff is very sensitive. Marta Wozniak is a wonderful English teacher, and I've seen her on several occasions reach out in different ways to help a student get through a difficult time.
Yeah, and there are so many ways to have interruptions in one's education. I know several people, myself included, that, you know, it might have taken us 10 years to get to the end point of what we wanted to accomplish, you know, with lots of gaps to go back to work or do different things, raise a family, whatever. And, you know, it was possible to get it done.
If people are willing to put in the hard work, they can get it done. Our son-in-law is in Utah. He's just finishing up a bachelor's degree in computer science, but it's taken him 10 years.
Yeah.
He works for a great company, and they're understanding. He's developed really good computer skills with Java and JavaScript, so it makes him employable. But he's still seen the importance of finishing off that degree so that he'll always have that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those things, too, where the price of education has gone so crazy from the time that I was educated back in the dark ages, that we have affordable education here at town where people can live at home if they need to and actually be able to get a couple of years under their belt before they deal with that.
Yeah, it's astounding to, almost staggering to listen to the amounts of debt that some people pile up,
yep,
as they're getting their education. And it's really needless in the sense that I think within our community, the Brookings Harbor High School offers a number of dual enrollment courses so that a student that knows they want to get an education can get their English classes out of the way before they even go off to college. If they will study hard, they can get the math courses up through college algebra. at the high school. They can take some of the science courses. So there's a lot that they can do. Imagine knocking out your first year of college and how much that would save you if you knocked out the first year of college while you were in high school.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a real advantage. But then the community college is relatively affordable, and our community has been very generous. And we gave away almost $15,000 worth of scholarships last spring for the students that joined us this fall. I think there's a lot of scholarships to go with the federal aid and funding that's out there. There's a lot of scholarships. I know Rotary, and then there's some other organizations within our community that give generously in the form of scholarships. If they'll come out and talk to Kareem, she'll point them in the right direction. Any student that needs help.
Yeah, yeah. And it's something that I never really looked into when I was going through school, but I kind of regret that now because I ended up piling a lot of student debt up. And in fact, I know several people that pretty much put themselves through on their scholarships. And that's impressive to do that, but it's something that can be done.
Yeah, my hat's off to those that work on that.
Yeah.
You also ask about the non-credit offerings.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Let me tell you, there's fitness classes are very popular. Ken Dobrapool has, I know he's spoken on KCIW a number of times, but he's a fantastic instructor. He really motivates the people that come to his classes. He has a Better Bones and Balance class for people that are trying to, maybe they've fallen, hurting a hip or something. They need to kind of get back to full mobility. He's super at working with them. And then people that have gone maybe past the point of needing physical therapy, but they still need a little bit to strengthen joints and get back to full activity. So he's really good. And then we have yoga, Pilates, aerobics. Some of the classes are taught not on campus, but mm-hmm. actually within our community. Mm-hmm. And those are very popular.
So in terms of proportions, like how many people are doing these non-credit courses versus the people in the nursing area and the different segments, how does it break out?
You know, I almost think it's 50-50 between the academic interest and mm-hmm. the community interest. You may be aware that back in July, there was a lot of discussion at our board meeting. There were some people that came out and expressed a concern that there wasn't enough activity on the college campus. And that led to...
Activity, as in?
Enough going on. That we weren't using the facility as much as we could.
That we could more utilize, because you do have a couple of beautiful buildings there. And
we have a great building here on the Curry campus. Brookings is, our setting is wonderful. I'm there with the trees. Every day I look in awe as the marine layer kind of flows through the parking lot.
It's very
pretty. We get sunshine and the marine layer.
So folks wanted to see you expand at a greater rate, I guess, basically.
There were some concerns that maybe we weren't doing enough for the community. Mm-hmm. And a number of people came up to me afterward and said, hey, would you listen to some ideas? And I had already been talking to my vice president about something that Portland Community College does called Senior Seminar. So uh-huh. I suggested it to these people, and they came in with their ideas. They had some neat ideas, and I shared the idea of a senior seminar that sounded similar, but their comment was, don't say seniors. So they liked the idea of the activities, but they didn't want to be called seniors.
Yeah.
But in meeting with that group, they've been a wonderful group. It was, we've talked about the monarch butterflies and just things that we could offer that would be educational. You know, things mm-hmm. like there was a group that did something on, the Constitution, where they rented the theater.
Oh, really?
And
I remember that. It was a Saturday afternoon thing.
Yeah, it was over a year ago they did, and people went in and discussed. So they asked for something like that using a MOOC or a massive open online course. So we put together something. All of these discussions ended up in something we've called SWOC and Beyond.
Uh-huh.
And I like that because it sounds a lot like To Infinity and Beyond.
Yes, you know, of course.
It does sound fun. So we put together a set of programs where we have a speaker series that's mm-hmm. going on. Last night, Ray Merrington, Detective Merrington, came out and talked about cybercrime.
Oh,
and
really?
I thought it was, he gave an excellent presentation on things not to do and ways to kind of ferret out it when you get that funny phone call that says, hey, I'm from the Social Security.
Right.
And I'm here to let you know that, you know, you, we're about to, you know, do something. Officer Merrington gave us some ideas of how to know that's just not going to happen. And then also some things on the computer and using internet protocols that assure your safety. So that's something that's really good. So the
really
speaker
sister
system has been fun. We're going to do things on finance. We've done some things on selecting appropriate healthcare options for somebody that might be going into a nursing home or need some sort of extended care. So we're going to continue to do those. We've got people from the community that are offering to do these little segments.
It's and I saw something recently about, it was Walk and Beyond, and it was a lunchtime, I guess, discussion group that was organized around a different ethnicity, cuisine of a different place. And
I'm glad you brought that up, because this is one of the ideas that one of the patrons brought up and said, hey, I'd like to do this. I'd like to share cultures. We have people that travel, and wouldn't it be nice to share this? So we have our first one coming up, and I don't have the dates. I think it's November 20th.
Yes, it is, actually.
The first one at noon. We would love to have people come out and just potluck, bring a dish, maybe bring a recipe that you might want to share.
And it's Mexican.
Yeah, the one that she wanted to start with was Mexico. So if you've been to Mexico, or you might want to go to Mexico and you want to share what you did or why you did what you did.
Or do some research for your trip.
Do some research.
Which is so important.
That'd be a lot of fun. And then she plans to take that and parlay that into the next event, basically having people decide, where do you want to go next? Do you want to talk about, you know, going to, I don't know.
Italy.
Yeah, maybe Italy or something.
The cuisine of England. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, Australia or wherever it might be, Portugal or...
Yeah.
So in the November meeting, they're going to decide what they'll do next. But because we're trying to publicize, we're going to move into December. And for the December event, we're going to do Christmas dishes.
You know,
Or season, holiday dishes that you might enjoy and share. And then actually bring some cookies, do some cookies or... something else festive to share with the group. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. That group is going to, you know, just meet and talk about the places they've been or want to go and just have a lot of fun.
Sounds really good. I one of the things that I think I've heard a little bit about, but certainly has always been kind of on my mind because I am in real estate and I've done a lot of remodeling and so on, that the whole skill force of the folks that do the electrical and the fine carpentry and all those guys are getting old, and there hasn't been a lot of people to replace them yet. It seems like everybody needs those kind of skills around town here, and it's been suggested that some of that get taught at SWOC. Is that a possibility? Is that something that is on your mind?
To some degree, we'd like to help, but it can be quite challenging. Some things are super expensive just because what's needed, the equipment that's needed is constantly changing. So we want to do the right things. We want to be good stewards of the resources that we have. So I am working with the Brookings Harbor School District to see if we can't utilize their welding facilities in the off hours, so weekends or evenings at a time when the high school isn't using those facilities. They're in the midst of doing some upgrades to their ventilation system to make sure it's a safe facility to be using for doing their welding and teaching welding skills. So that's something that we're working towards in terms of the trades. Things like plumbers and electricians and things like that, those are more based on apprenticeships.
Yes.
And the state has an apprenticeship program.
Do you feel that need is being met?
Well, it's not being met in the sense that it's hard to find people that want to apprentice for a place. And then I think it's hard for the employers to put the time into an apprenticeship program. I talked to somebody recently that said, and this isn't my firsthand experience, but they claimed that one of the employers, I think maybe an electrician, wanted to find somebody. So they advertised for a person, and that person, they only got one applicant. And the one applicant was a person that was too short to even reach up and get the ladder off the top of the truck.
Oh, dear.
So it highlights just how difficult it can be to find a person that wants to commit to the training and has the pre-employment skills necessary to that grit, again, to go to work, to work independently, and to be a team player.
That just strikes me as so strange. If I was a young person today, I think I would really be very interested in something like that. I need to just say you're listening to KCIWLP, Curry Coast Community Radio, 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon. So, Doug, what kinds of things do you see happening in the future for SWOC and in general in education? Where are we going? Well, where would you like to go?
I wish I knew. You know what? I guess it's, for me, what I just want to do is what we do a little bit better. Sometimes it's not so much having a new dream or a new focus. It's putting your efforts into doing what you do really well. So, and I don't want that to sound like an excuse, but we've got a nursing program, so I'd like to make it even better. We have the students that are interested, so we need to make sure that the pathway is a very clear one for students. So, for instance, we had a couple of the high school students in the last two summers that took the CNA coursework. So they
CNA,
the Certified Nurse Assistant.
Oh, okay.
So during the summer, they studied for the nurse assisting program, and then they did their practicals, their clinicals at Good Samaritan. And then they became certified nurse assistants.
So they were able to do that in what, 6 months or something?
No, like 7 weeks. They do it over the summer.
7 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow.
So then they can get a job with one of the nursing homes and be able to practice their nursing skills. They learn compassionate care, which I think is really critical for anyone in nursing these days. So they find out whether they really like it. They have a job. So their senior year, they can work part-time, they can work weekends, they can earn a few bucks, and then they're in a place where when they go on to college, they actually have a part-time job that's very dependable.
That sounds great.
And it's a critical need. So strengthening that program is something that we want to do. You mentioned the career and technical education, so the welding program is something that is a focus. You know, we need to get that program up and running. We're committed to do that. It's one of those things where you got to be patient. So we've had some change at the school district as well. So we're just going to be patient about getting everything set up so that works right.
So let's say you're a retiree and you had a fascinating career in God knows what, and you think you'd like to share that with the community. How does a person go about getting involved and offering one of these no credit fun courses?
Oh, well, the first step would be to give me a call, I think.
Okay.
We need instructors. We have a critical need for instructors in some areas. So, for instance, communication. We have communication classes that are an integral part of the nursing program and that are also part of the AAOT, and we just can't come up with an instructor
AOT?
That's qualified. The AAOT, the Associate in Oregon Transfer.
Oh, okay,
so
good.
That we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy to entertain anybody that wants to come in. Now, if you teach in a transfer area, meaning that somebody can go on to get a bachelor's degree, you need to have a master's degree in that field of study to be able to teach it, or a related field. Okay, so somebody with an interest in speech pathology maybe would have sufficient training to teach a communication class. Or maybe somebody with a journalism background might be able to teach that. So that's a need area. We recently were looking for somebody to teach psychology. I've had some people that want to talk to me about teaching geology. In all the cases when there's something that somebody wants to teach, we have to have sufficient students that want to take the course, have to have a curriculum, and then a qualified instructor.
Right. So coming back, pulling out a little bit to a more global or at least a national level, what do you think are some of the challenges that's going on in education these days?
Well, I think change. One of the biggest challenges is how curriculum is changing. One of the things we see is at the federal level, we have both a leash and a whip, in that they want to see more and more innovation at the same time that the federal government, the major funding sources, don't change very quickly. So although we would like to do things that would make it so that students could succeed, you know, so we could avoid some of these off-ramps that or bumps in the road.
Right.
The government trying to make sure that we're spending our funds appropriately, they penalize us for being creative, so to speak. So that's one of the challenges. We need to find ways, if you want to innovate, allow people to innovate. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I think we had talked earlier about the Aspen Prize.
Let's talk about that.
For community colleges. Southwestern has been nominated as one of the top 150 community colleges in the nation. We've been invited to prepare a packet or a portfolio to demonstrate our strengths in competition for this prize. It's $1 million prize. And you know, we would love to demonstrate some of the things we're doing. The college is very much committed to the success of our students. So we have things like guided pathways right now, so that when a student comes in, more and more, and this goes back to one of the challenges, more and more students may come into college and not really know what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, we say, if you want to do medical or health sciences, then let's put you into a pathway that is fairly broad at first, but that eventually narrows to the curriculum that really is of interest to you.
So by the time you get there, you'll know which way you want to go.
Well, and it's really very true, whether or not you want to be a biologist or a chemist or a pharmacist, many of the courses that you take in the first year in that area are all the same. You're going to take your English classes, you're going to take your biology, you may take your chemistry, you're going to take a math class. So let's get you headed in the right direction instead of just throwing your hands up and say, well, I'll just take whatever I want to take. And a funny story is a student I once had that I was advising came in. She was a business major. Since I'm an economist, I was advising the business majors. And she came in and we talked about what courses she wanted to take. And I said, well, here's what the standard curriculum is. You're going to take this and this and this and this. And at the end of that conversation, she goes, can't I take anything fun? and I just went, well, what do you want to take? And she's like, well, couldn't I take something like theater or music or something like that? And I'm like, of course you can. But if you want to be a business major, this is what you take.
Yeah.
So students, sometimes they come in and they just want to have fun. She told me she wanted to do business because her mom said, hey, you can always find a job if you have a business degree.
Right.
So she had went down that path when in fact her true interests weren't in business at all. Mm-hmm. So the Guided Pathways program or the initiative really is to try to help students get into the pathway, whether it's being in the STEM fields, the sciences, or whether it's healthcare. Maybe it's the social sciences, history, teaching, political science, whatever it might be. Or maybe it's something totally different. Maybe you want to be an aircraft mechanic. Hey, what a great job. I'd love to be working on 787s or even working on a patch to fix these 737 MAX aircraft. You know, so I think there are wonderful careers
out there. So if you'd have had a pathway, you might not be where you are today. You might be working on those things.
It might be true. It might be a little different place.
Well, the thing about the pathways is so cute because, you know, when you're 16, 17 years old, you may not have the foggiest notion, but if at least you chose a pathway that meets some of your interests, and then maybe you go, you know, a semester in that and go, oh, that's not right for me. I don't want to do that. Let's jump over to this pathway. You still have had a chance to, you know, sometimes you make up your mind by excluding the other options until you finally figure out what it is, you know.
Yeah, that's possible. You know, I would like to give some kudos to the high school. They've got some programs where they're developing using shadowing, where they want to send the students to shadow some leaders and individuals in our community. I think that that's really admirable. It helps these young people identify what direction do they really want to go. And they need to understand that if you want to be an engineer, you want to build that space station on Mars or create a space suit for the next astronauts, you might have to learn quite a bit of math to be able to do that materials types of work. If you want to be an engineer, it's going to take some math. So you have to decide either you're going to put in the initiative to learn math well, or you're going to decide to change your direction and say, although I'd like to be an astronaut, maybe I better be a botanist, or maybe I should go into the arts.
I always wanted to be an astronomer, and then I figured out that was going to be mostly about math.
Well, it's a major, amazingly interesting math.
Yeah, but it's still math. I mean, I just like looking at the stars and, looking through a telescope and all that fun stuff. I didn't realize it was going to be, 90% math.
Wouldn't it be nice to just name planets?
That's
your job.
That would be fun. Looking at the photography of the galaxies and so forth. That was great fun. Anyway, so you're nominated for this Aspen Prize. And if you were writing that up, what would you say the other strengths are? You talked about the pathways. Are there other areas that you feel particularly proud of as far as what we're doing here?
Well, I know that the college is going to share their successes in terms of advising and in terms of student support. So we have an excellent peer tutor center that serves the Coos campus as well as Curry. Mm-hmm. We use Skype. And I've had a number of students that they set up a time, they make an arrangement with the tutor, and then we set them up on Skype, and they can share work products back and forth, talk about the classes that they're interested in, and really share with each other. So I think the support that we have, the degree of engagement, the faculty, of course, are very engaged with the students. We have the policing major, fire science up on the Coos Bay campus, where the faculty are very much engaged with the students. I think that's one of the skills. But we have really strong, the data just shows that whatever we're doing it right, because we have the completion and transfer rates. We're well above, our completion rate is almost double what the average is for the state. So we're doing very well.
That is fantastic. Really? What an accomplishment.
Yeah. I think Patty Scott, our president, deserves kudos for her leadership.
And she has also been nominated or received acknowledgement.
Yeah, she was
there.
I'm going to mess it up and tell you the wrong one. But yeah, she was nominated and was granted the award as being the Community College Administrator of the Year.
Wow.
So of the more than a dozen community colleges in the state, that's quite an accomplishment and quite the recognition for her hard work.
What do you see happening in terms of the kids? Have you been in education for years and years, or I imagine you have?
Yeah, for a few. Students have changed. We all walk to school uphill both ways, right? Mm-hmm. From school up, uphill. And, students are a little bit different. Some of the things that I think are going to be interesting for them to overcome are the nature of the workplace. I think many students see the Amazons or the Googles of this world, where you don't really even have to go into work. Mm-hmm. You can take your dog and the dog can sit by the desk, or they see some of these types of work as being their future. It's not going to be there for all of them. Some are going to find that type of workforce possible, and others maybe not. I think that they've got some things that are going to be challenging. When we reach out to students now, if I will call a student, I'll often go to voicemail. If I send them an email, it will be ignored. If I text them, I'll get a response almost immediately.
Right.
So there's communication styles that are different. And you and I know that using email in this day and age, if you have a professional job, you're going to have to use email a lot. It's a tool. It's not really a communication style.
Yes.
So either they're going to find ways that texting becomes more important than email, or they're going to have to learn to adapt.
Well, and it's like that, too, in my experience, just as a professional person around town, is there's a group of people that I know if I want to get a hold of them, I should email, and I have another group of people that we're going to respond better for texting, and yet another group of people will never look at those things and would just really want to talk on the telephone and don't really respond to anything else. And some people never look at their voicemail anymore. You know, if it's they'll just call you back instead of checking out what you actually said, if you're lucky. There's all these different styles of methods of communication now. Anyway, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So we find that challenging, but the question is, do they? What's the future going to hold for them? Are they going to find ways to adapt and make for a more efficient society through the ways that they communicate?
Well, there's all these wonderful ideas out there about flex time and job sharing and things of that nature, but I imagine 90% of the jobs in the world don't involve those innovative ideas.
Well,
they're still 9-to-5s, you know.
That or else you and I are very much old school.
Well, we are. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But when I just look around in this town, if you want to live in Brookings, you're not offered too many jobs of that type.
Well, and I think that that's the next stage, is that where do the youth that want to live in this area, where do they create the commerce? I think that's some of it's Easter lilies, some of it's the fishing industry, some of it is the pulp and paper or the logging industry.
What I see oftentimes are the people that can work online, you know, and they either have an online business or they're maybe doing some consulting where they fly in to see their client once in a while, but mostly they're doing the work on their own. There's a lot of that going on around here too. Maybe not so much for young people, but as people become more adept professionally, they get those offers.
Well, and like you said, the tradespeople. Mm-hmm. And maybe the place where this starts, and I know some people won't find it very popular, but you know, what if a young person goes to Portland or Medford and learns the skills, and then they come back and they start the business here?
I see that as a win-win. It happens all the time. Lots of professional people do that. They were raised here, they went away, got their education, maybe a little job experience, and then they came back and started their practice here.
I think I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
We need to find a ways to support that.
Yes.
You know, it's not to say we want you to leave, but we want you to know that you're supported if you want to go someplace else, because we want you back.
Yes. Yes. And that's the thing, I think, too, that sometimes people don't realize that that's an option. That they, you know, so you go away for a couple of years, but you can come back. It's very doable. You're listening to KCIWLP, Curry Coast Community Radio, 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon. We're talking with Doug Bunn, the dean, executive dean, I should say, of our local community college, SWOC. And so we're talking about, too, how the kids have maybe changed over the course of your experience in education. And one of the things is that education has become so much more interactive. And people expect that interactivity. When I went to school, it was sit in your desk and let them spoon feed you what you were supposed to tell him back on the test and read that chapter. And that was pretty much it. There wasn't a lot of interactivity. Now, people pretty much expect to be able to do that, to have small groups and discussion and so forth.
I think there's some very talented teachers in our area. I've heard that they're very good at sharing the practical. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to take your class down to the beach? Well, we had a sneaker wave advisory.
Yeah.
I think the last 24 hours. I almost think it'd be interesting to just take a busload of kids down there and watch to see if there isn't that rogue wave, so to speak, that comes in, and then enter into a discussion of why that happens.
Yeah.
And what's going on in our atmosphere and in our surroundings that are creating those things that are happening, and you know, maybe look at some gulls and some seals along the way, talk a little bit about biology and the world around them, try to just stimulate the creative juices. Maybe learning calculus isn't what's essential. I mean, I could tell you, I took a bunch of calculus classes and I love calculus. I think it's fantastic. That linear algebra that people say, oh, that was the worst class, I loved linear algebra. But I can tell you that in my work life, I use it very little.
Right.
I told my children hated me because I went to a parent-teacher conference and told their teacher, pound those logarithms into their heads, you know, learning logarithms. And yeah. Because one of the things I do use is logistic regression, which is really quite complicated, but it's a formulation through logarithms, some mathematics. But really, it's not very often that I pull out a calculator and figure out a log or an exponential function of some sort.
Right.
But
unless
it
you're
going
to be in the hard sciences.
But you do learn some things. There's logic and process that's developed along the way, and that's what I've liked.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some sort of a balance mm-hmm. where students can learn what they need to know, but also learn how to learn.
Yeah, and critical thinking is one of those skill sets that a lot of people don't seem to have these days. And yet it gets maybe honed a lot by taking courses in things as diverse as, I don't know, philosophy for one, and debating and all those kinds of things.
Well, I don't know if they do debate nearly as much as they used to, but
no, I
boy,
don't think so.
I wish I could go back and do a little bit more debate. But I think you're right that we can benefit from debating in a, it's a lost art, right?
Right.
Now we argue, mm-hmm. and in fact, we may not even really argue. We just skip right to hate.
But
and we can actually convince each other.
Mm-hmm. Part of communication is being persuasive, and you can only do that if you're in a debate type situation, or argument type situation, when you've got some rules of the road. You know, you start calling people names or insulting them, you're not going to get real far.
It's a lesson that can take a while to learn.
Yeah. Getting back to the students, though, if you're a parent tuning in or a grandparent tuning in, what do you recommend parents can do to really support their kids getting what they want out of education?
Wow, parenting 101, huh?
Well, as applied to education.
Wow. A strong home is really essential. I mean, it's critical for children and their development. I look at my grandchildren and my hopes for them. I hope they learn to read. I think people don't realize how important of a skill it is to learn to read. Uh-huh. Many of these standardized tests that determine whether or not you're able to go to a really good college or a ho-hum college, the SAT and ACT, the greatest indicator of success on those tests is reading proficiency. I saw that within my own children. My one daughter is a fantastic reader, and she scored quite well on the ACT. My other daughter is bright and did fine, but not as well. My daughter that is a really voracious reader, she got into law school quite easily because of her ability to take the LSAT. Mm-hmm. So, I think that there's no one that could really lose by learning to read well, practicing reading, and becoming well-versed.
And part of reading well is that critical thinking component, which is going to assist you so much when it comes to test-taking and things of that nature.
Your vocabulary.
When you're using double negatives in the test questions, it trip you up every time.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, is to learn how to read. Read a broad array of books. Maybe Harry Potter's a good place to start, but it's probably not the place to end. Go back to some of the classics. I hear Moby Dick has a chapter on white and all the descriptions of white. It's
right.
Like a whole chapter worth. So
that's interesting.
Use some vision. Be creative.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know.
Okay, how can the community support the school better?
Oh, wow. I would say that this Walk and Beyond project has really been wonderful, and that we've had a variety of people that have come forward with new ideas. And for me, it's just been a pleasure to sit back and try to put the pieces together. I talked to somebody that was a nutritionist this morning, and we're going to have her come out in March and maybe talk a little bit about how to stay healthy. I mean, it's so important. Mm-hmm. If you want to live longer and have a more active lifestyle, nutrition is probably a big part of that. My wife tells me all the time, get away from the soft drinks and the fatty foods.
Back away from the fridge.
Move away from the fridge. And she's probably right. It's going to save us in terms of health care and things like that.
So SWOG and Beyond, if I'm understanding you, is really a program that is taking folks from the community that have something they want to share and giving them a structure to do it from, where they can gather a group together to listen to what they have to say. And it could look a lot of different ways. It could look like the international potluck. It might be a day at the beach. It might be a lecture. It could be a lot of things.
Exactly. Al Collinette, who a lot of people know in the community, does hiking and interpretive hikes. So he really kicked off through one of his speaking engagements. He talked about the things you need to know when you go out on a hike. And then he followed up on that by saying, okay, and on Saturday, we're going to go do a hike. If you want to do that, join us here at the college, and we'll go on this hike down the Boardman, you know, within the Boardman State Park area. They're near Harris Beach. So we did that, you know, kind of a fun thing to do. We have some other people that want to talk about clamming or about gathering mussels. We have some things going on right now with mushrooms. The Mushroom Festival just ended, but we're not going to let it stop there. Kathleen has been kind enough to come out and tell us some more about mushrooms. We're going to do a foraging event on Thursday at the college. So it's been a group of people that we're not really pushing an agenda. We've looked into the community and said, what are things that this community needs? And there's a lot of people that want to talk about what they know, and I'm willing to give them a forum where they can come out and share some of those things.
One of the issues that I guess comes up a lot for me in conversation with folks is this whole idea that we're going to have a jobless future, that AI, robotics are going to replace almost all the jobs. How do you see that fitting in with people looking at education today?
Well, that couldn't get to me soon enough. Right? How are we going to do that? You know, that's something for the next generation. I hope they figure that out.
Yeah.
I think there's always going to need to be people coming up with new ideas. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that the robots, you know, unless you really believe in the kind of the Terminator sort of thing, that robots aren't going to do that thinking for us. So the creative minds are still going to need to be out there. We're still going to need dreamers. We're still going to need art and culture. I think that's one thing that young people are, at least speaking for myself, I grew up in a small community, agriculture. I milked cows. Dairy was the job I did through high school. Working on the dairy, I really didn't know what was out there in terms of culture. So the first time I went to Washington, D.C. and stumbled through the National Gallery of Art, I was amazed. I'm like, wow, what is all this stuff that's out there that is really... really makes up what makes us human, mm-hmm. that really exemplifies the better parts of us and sometimes the more evil. You go into the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. That's another place that people need to experience the depravity of to understand what happened during that time. So,
yeah, and it strikes me too that communication, the ability to communicate on all kinds of levels, whether it's written communication or verbal communication or public speaking, those things are not going to be easily duplicated by machines that just don't have the essence of being human, because that's what communication is really about.
Well, there are these inventive people that are talking about things like the water, creating energy from wind farms out in the ocean, or wave technology. You're using that wave action to generate electricity, you know, aquaculture. You know, some robots can do some things, but there are some other things that they may not be capable of doing.
Right, right. And then your background is as being an economist. When you think about a future in which 50% of the jobs are gone, what do you think about that in terms of the future for the next generations? Just a scary thought? Or?
In some ways it is. I almost hate to comment because I'd sound like a socialist. You know, that are we going to reach this point where, like in Alaska, where there's a dividend that comes back to all the citizens, where all of this infrastructure that we've created that's robotic, does that sustain the culture that's out there almost doing nothing? I don't know. It's hard for me to envision that because I feel better when I'm doing something.
Right. That's the other thing. What do you do with your time? I mean, first of all, you have to survive somehow. So there's that side of the economic equation. But also, if you have time on your hands.
Yeah. I don't know how happy I would be with somebody else feeding me. You know, if somebody else said, here's your food.
Yeah.
Here, you don't have to
so
do anything.
You're not a socialist. I'm sorry. You don't qualify.
I don't. Well, dang.
Dang.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's an interesting question that I guess we're going to have to take another hour to explore someday. But in the meantime, we're coming up towards the end of our time together. I guess in terms of the community, we get the catalog that comes out twice a year, or is it three times a year?
Oh, every quarter.
Every quarter we get
that. Yeah, with each term we send out a catalog.
So that's probably the easiest way to plug in. Are there other means for people to maybe, you know, got lost in the trash a week ago and somebody just hearing this would like to find out more about what's going on, come up to the campus, check things out?
Well, check out our website,
okay.
www.socc.edu. If you want to add a slash and Curry on there, then you can get to the Curry campus specific website. We have all the options as far as courses that are available and the other things that are going on. We've got some, ever since I got here, somebody's wanted cooking classes. So there are going to be some cooking, some creative writing classes. Cool. There's a variety of things that are going to be taking
place. And are there things that don't just start at the beginning of each quarter, but rather might maybe halfway through so a person could get involved now and not wait for another catalog to come out?
There are a few things like these cooking classes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to start January 7th.
Yeah.
They're spaced out a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So there are a few of those. We also have the CPR first aid courses that some people are interested in getting. Some of those are professional certifications. Sometimes people just want to know if their spouse collapses, they want to have a way to try to revive them.
Yeah, that's so important.
There are some of those classes. Or come out and we'll be happy to discuss any options, whether that's a credit class that you're interested in, or if you want to suggest something, or like you said earlier, if somebody has an idea, they want to teach something. We had flamenco dancing was something that this college actually offered for the fall term. And unfortunately, there just wasn't sufficient enrollment to make that happen.
Oh.
Ballroom dancing is something that has been proposed. We'd love to see that happen. If we have enough students, we'd be happy to offer it.
Sounds great. So again, would you give us that website for folks just to make sure they get a chance to get it right?
It's www.socc.edu/Curry, C-U-R-R-Y. And I think you can also look us up, Southwestern Oregon Community College, Curry Campus on Facebook. And we have the event calendar there so that you can stay up to date as to what's going on.
Sounds great. Doug, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been such a pleasure. That was Doug Bunn, the executive director of SWOC at our Curry Campus here in town. I want to thank you for coming and thank Pi White also for our technical support and co-producer. This has been Lee Tooley for Reality Check on KCIW.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.